The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. On another beautiful Saturday, how many of these have we had in a row? Bob Pompiani with you. And for the next couple of hours, Seth Davis is behind the glass. And he will be taking your phone calls at 412-928-9370. Our show is brought to you by the good people of Number One Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. PNC Bank, make today the day. Shendorovich, Shendorovich and Fishman. They got your back, not your wallet. How about Ireland Contracting? Want a new roof? Call them. And you can see our Ireland Contracting nightly sports call every night, KDK Plus, and most nights here on 93.7 The Fan. 412-928-9370, another busy weekend as we get set for not only Pitt later today against Virginia, what they hope is a bounce-back game from a terrible effort at SMU, but also the Steelers. A bye week coming back to the Washington Commanders and a very interesting gauntlet of games over the next several weeks. They are currently sitting in the driver's seat at 6 wins, 2 losses, one of the best point differentials in the NFL, very stingy defense, one of the best, only allowing them 119 points for the year. That's it. The Ravens, by virtue of their win the other night over the Bengals, are in second place at 7-3. The Bengals, we're going to talk about that game at 4-6. The Browns at 2-7. Steelers come back off a bye, seemingly healthier than ever. Going to get Zach Frazier back. Going to get Cordarrelle Patterson back to add to the backfield. Mike Williams brought in for a fifth-round pick from the Jets. I'd like to know how you feel about that at 412-928-9370. Preston Smith to add to the outside linebacker group. And that's interesting to me in that, you know, Nick Herbig, I think, is still going to be out with an injury. And at some point, you're going to start wondering about that. He's making progress, I think. But Preston Smith was an additional add-on. Again, a very reasonable price. And a guy who's had 6 seasons over 8 sacks per year with the Green Bay Packers. So, they got deeper at 2 positions, and I think you'd like the moves, short of big names coming here, big salaries. Mike Williams is a guy who should be motivated. He fell out of favor in New York. They brought in Davante Adams, and he fell down the depth chart, so he could come here rejuvenated, and you might remember his best years in Los Angeles with the Chargers, man. He was very good at what he did, so we'll see how that affects the Steelers, and it should make things a little bit more interesting for Russell Wilson in his third start against the Commanders team that's very good, one of the surprises of the league. In fact, I would consider them the surprise of the league, only because they were coming in with question marks and new head coach and Dan Quinn. Daniel Snyder sells the team, and I'm sure he's having a really rough year after he did. They're 7-2 on top of their division, and they probably have the AP Offensive Rookie of the Year on their team, of course, in Jaden Daniels, and what he's done has been remarkable. As a 71% completion percentage person his first year on the job, he doesn't make mistakes. The one thing about the Commanders, they do not turn the ball over, period. Three all year. And they're one of the tops in the leagues in doing that. They're very good with the football. The Steelers have certainly prioritized that, and I think it's helped the Steelers as well. So two teams that, and you may be surprised to know, that both rely on the run, not just the Steelers, but they rely on the run as well. And you know, they're a team that puts up about 152 yards per game. They rush for 164. The one thing, even though they rush it well against the Giants, 164, they also give up a lot of yards on the ground. And that's where I think the Steelers will have an advantage here. If they can execute their game plan, you know, Washington is one of the worst at stopping teams on the ground. They're 29th out of the 32 teams. So the Steelers will have an advantage defensively in this game, especially going against a rookie quarterback where Mike Tomlin is 25-6. But I will tell you this, Jaden Daniels this year is undefeated when he is a favorite. So that's interesting to me that he knows how to win these games at such a young age. And I think Cliff Kingsbury's done a very good job in making life easy for him with, again, a pretty good run game. And he's been good about coming up with big plays at big times. A lot of success there for a rookie quarterback. You wouldn't expect that right off the bat, given how tough it is for rookie quarterbacks. But he's defied that. He got injured a few weeks ago. He's back. They got a Hail Mary win against the Bears. However, the Steelers, I think, are in position to do well in this game. They're underdogs. I think they like that role. And they'll go into that game motivated, knowing that the second part of this season is going to be very challenging. All the AFC North games coming at you. They haven't played any yet. They will, and they got a lot of them coming up. So 412-928-9370, want to hear from you about your thought and state of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I also want to remind you that the Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And then Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. So 412-928-9370 is the number to call. We'll get into the Steelers. We'll talk about the Bengals. And looking at that game, the Bengals-Ravens the other night, I came away thinking the Steelers are in a very good position. And here's why. Those two teams can rack up points. There's no question about it. And you're going to have to match them from time to time, point for point. But both of those teams have very shaggy defenses. And I think both of those teams can be scored upon. Conversely, I think the Steelers can neutralize some of what these teams who have high offenses can bring. They have ways of shutting you down, not allowing it to result in touchdowns. You settle for field goals a lot against the Steelers. Their defense, as I said, has given up only 119 points. It's one of the best totals in the NFL. Unscored upon in the third quarter. How about that? The Steelers come out of the second half, and they do a really good job of keeping teams at bay. So that's a positive thing for them, and I think they have an advantage over the Ravens and the Bengals. But I'd like to also know what you thought of the decision at the end of the game by Zach Taylor, who decided to go for a win in the dagger on a two-point conversion when he could have kicked the extra point, lengthened the game, and gone to overtime. You know, that's one of those 50-50 deals. If you believe you can do it, I guess go for it. But they already, you know, had five losses. They couldn't afford a sixth, and that sealed it really quickly. So a lot of stuff. There were penalties all over the place called. There were a lot of calls non-called. The officiating has been just bad, I think, overall in the NFL. They got a problem. They got to fix it. And they also have to make life a little easier for these officials because there's too much in the rule book for them. Way too much. Some of this stuff is ticky-tacky stuff. Some isn't. But I think they have to do something a little different. Now, as far as the Penguins are concerned, they won a game last night in Washington. I want to hear your thoughts about where they are. And can they get back into this thing after falling now to 6-8-2 after that win last night? It's a good win considering they lost the other night in Carolina. I thought they were the better team, but I also thought they were very sloppy, specifically Erik Karlsson. Goaltending was average. They put in Blomqvist last night. He was good. Tristan Jarry has been lighting up in Wilkes-Barre. When is it time to bring him up, and how much of this season is still predicated on his ability and goal? 412-928-9370. Let's get to the lines. That's why I'm here, to take your calls. Let's talk. Bill in Uniontown is first up tonight. Hello, Bill. How are you?
I'd like to ask you two questions. Do you think the bye week helped the Steelers, or did you think it would hurt them? And can the Steelers beat the Washington Commanders?
Thanks, Bill, for the call. I think, yes, the bye week helps every team, especially one that comes in the halfway part of the season. And that's what this did for them. It enabled, I said, Zach Frazier. It enabled Nick Herbert to get better. I'm not sure if he's, you know, better to the point where he's going to play. Cordero Patterson, and just all the other guys who've been dealing with different things. So it's a good time for the bye week. No coach will tell you it's a bad time, but for them, halfway through the season is good. Now, the Ravens played on Thursday, so they're going to have some extra days off coming into their game next week when Baltimore comes here in a 1 p.m. game. You'll see live on KDKA. That's going to help them a little bit, I would imagine. As far as the Commanders, I will pick the Steelers in this game. I think they're going to win it. I just think the rookie quarterback will have his share of issues with the Steeler defense. And it seems like Russell Wilson is making strides. Now, what I'd like to see more from him is throwing in the middle of the field. Again, the Steeler offense is predicated on sideline throws mostly, even no matter which quarterback you had in there. So I think that's important for them to start using the middle of the field a little bit more. Maybe Mike Williams can be that guy. Let's go out to KP in the car right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. What's up, KP?
Hey, Bob. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Hey, I just wanted to add my 2 cents on the Steelers. As far as tomorrow goes, I mean, I do think tomorrow is a very winnable game. I understand that Washington is 7-2, and that's a good resume for itself. But I just think that with Jaden Daniels being a rookie who seems to be overconfident, this is the perfect game for Mike Tomlin and his defense to show him what the NFL is really about. As far as Baltimore and Cincinnati, I mean, AFC North football is very, very unpredictable. I do know when both teams come here and also when we play them at their place, no team is going to score 30 points on our defense. It's just not going to happen. If we keep Cincinnati and Baltimore both below 30, we're going to beat them both each time. I do see us dropping at least one or two division games. But to whom, I'm unsure. It's the AFC North. I think for a long-term prognosis, I think the Steelers will win about 11, 12 games, and I do see us going to the AFC title game. That's it.
All right. KP, you're very optimistic. Good point of view. I don't know about 12 wins. I think it's going to be tougher on them. I do. I think you're going to see some games that you're not going to like along the way. That's just the nature of the National Football League. But these division games will tell a large story for the Steelers in this season. If they can win tomorrow and get to 7-2, again, build up more insulation on their record against future losses, that would be huge. They'd go into the game next week with a 1-game lead over the Ravens. And if you win, you're 2 ahead of them. And Cincinnati is probably fading out of the picture altogether. So those head-to-head battles will matter. But Lamar, I got to tell you, Lamar Jackson has been so impressive. And he was again the other night. And I realize, as I said, Cincinnati's defense sometimes can leave a lot out there. And they did in this game. 4 more touchdown passes. Burrow was just as good. But Lamar Jackson's on pace to win another MVP. I don't know how else you can exclude him from that conversation at this point. He's running the ball more prudently. Not as much, but more prudently. He made a play the other night, which was incredible. It was 2nd and 8 or 3rd and 8, whatever it was. And he drifted back 25 yards. And then almost got in for a touchdown. He just meandered his way all the way near the end zone, and they eventually scored on that. What a game-changing play. But he's been efficient with the football. He's been really good in the pocket, the best version of Lamar Jackson I think I've seen since he's come into the league. And it's just the maturity of being in that position. They have a run game that can be very effective. Their defense has problems, as I said. I think the Steeler offense can score some points against them, but the question will be how limited can the Steeler defense make the Ravens. Now, we're getting ahead of ourselves talking about that game. They got to focus on this game first against Washington. It won't be easy. I think at the beginning of the season, most people looked at that game and chalked it up as a win because you were unknown about Jaden Daniels. You were unknown about Dan Quinn coming back as a head coach and what he was going to be able to do after leaving Dallas. The one thing about his teams, I will say, his defenses get better in time. Down in Dallas as their defensive coordinator, when he got there, they were ranked 23rd defensively, year 2, 14th, and then 9th this past year before he got hired. And he's done the same here in a very limited amount of time in 9 games in Washington. They started really badly. They're still bad at times, but they've improved each of their numbers. So this is a defense that seems to be getting better. Now, they've lost one of their best players in Allen on the defensive line. He's out for the year and has been. But they found people who can step up and play. So it's going to be a good test for the Steelers. It should be a great game. You'll see it on KDK TV, and we have postgame afterwards on KDK Plus for 2 hours, so join us for that. In the meantime, Greg in Youngstown is joining us live right now on 93.7 The Fan. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Bob. How's it going?
Good. What's up?
You know, when I look at the rest of the schedule, there's a couple games I think we're going to definitely lose. That's Cincy and Cincy. I think we're not going to win that game. And I don't think we're going to beat the Eagles. We could beat the Chiefs. The team I'm afraid of in the AFC is Buffalo. Josh Allen is so tough. He's like the quarterback of Cincinnati. Mahomes, yeah, he's good. He's great. But those two guys really scare me. And I think we can win the rest of the game. We can lose. We'll lose to Cincinnati. We'll lose to Philadelphia. We still have a chance to sweep the Ravens because their defense stinks. We better sweep the Browns because they stink. And I think we have a chance against Kansas City at home on Christmas. But, these teams are afraid of us, too. It's not like we're afraid of them. They're afraid of our team, too, with Wilson at quarterback.
No, I agree. I think Russell Wilson takes it to a different level. A more professional quarterback who uses his experience to help him out in certain times of the game. So I think and we'll see how that develops as we go forward. I think you're going to have, Greg, you're right, they're going to be teams they can beat. I think they can beat Kansas City. Kansas City, one thing about them, they have been not that impressive in the way they normally play, but they know how to win. They've won every game. And they will be problematic at Arrowhead in the playoffs. There's no question. Buffalo, I agree with you, because I've said the same thing. You brought in Amari Cooper to help a wide receiving core that has some pretty good playmakers there already. In Shakir, in Coleman, who's a rookie but improving, and then you got two of the best tight ends going at it, and a good run game. They have a very good offense, and their defense is more than capable of shutting you down when necessary. So that's a good football team. As far as their schedule, I wouldn't. You made it sound like Cleveland's going to be easy. Ask Baltimore if Cleveland's going to be easy. You go to Cleveland on a Thursday night. I know they stink. That doesn't mean they can't beat the Steelers on a Thursday night.
Yeah, but it's every team in football. I mean, every team can beat you at a given day. But I've watched the Cleveland Browns play this year because I get the games, too, in Youngstown. They're not good. Well, the quarterback throws a zillion interceptions. The defense lost another player that was traded. They're not a good team. They're not. And they don't have any weapons on the outside. Chubb's not the same running back. If we can't sweep them, we don't deserve to be in the playoffs.
I don't disagree with anything you said, and I don't think they're a good team. But I also know what a team can do on a certain given night. And those are games, especially because it's a short week coming off a big emotional game. I don't know that that's, it's one of those trick games, but potentially that they don't play the way they're capable of playing and they feed into what Cleveland is doing. So it's going to be interesting. I think so if you're looking at the final schedule, how many wins, you think there are 11 wins based on what you're saying?
Yeah, no doubt. I don't see why we can't get 11 wins.
Yeah, I think that's probably the low water mark. I think it could be better than that. I don't know that it could get worse than that, though.
No, I don't think we're going to beat Cincinnati, though. Burroughs is the best quarterback in football, too. Him and Josh Allen, they're better than Mahomes.
I don't know about that.
They're better. They're one-man weapons. I mean, just the way they play, Burroughs is the best passer in football. And Josh Allen is the best overall quarterback in football. The way he runs, he can throw, all facets of the game. Mahomes is tough because they have that coach, too. Mahomes is great, but he's not as good as those two guys. He's just not.
All right, Greg, thanks. Until somebody knocks him off, I'm going to disagree with that. I think Jackson's emerging in that direction as well. I think he's a guy who's going to be heard from in terms of postseason. He has no success in postseason games. This could be a year he turns that around. We'll see. Rick in Cannonsburg is up next right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Pompeiani's. You love the show, Bob.
Appreciate that, Rick. Thank you.
Hey, Bob, I just have a quick question in regards to this whole Mike Williams thing. It seems like it's been kind of slim pickings with this pickup, and I think the guy at New York alluded to it on the Starkey Show this week. I just want to understand why they did not address the DeAndre Hopkins thing when it just seemed like there's a lot more value and essentially the same draft capital.
I think that's a good call. Rick, I don't know the answer to that other than they may not have liked the player as much as others. But for a fifth-round pick, my goodness, if you're going to ask me who I'd rather have, it would be Hopkins. But I think Mike Williams still has some football left. They had to do something. They had to address depth in that position room, and they did. I would have preferred that. Hopkins has made an immediate impact already on Kansas City, and it helps having Mahomes as your quarterback there. But, in the last game they played, I think he had 8 receptions, 2 touchdowns, whatever the case was. That's how you make a difference. And he has the history, not unlike with Russell Wilson. Their attractivity to Russell Wilson was because he has experience. He's a 9-time Pro Bowler, all this stuff that he's done. Well, Hopkins is the same kind of guy. Williams has one, but not as impressive as Hopkins. So all things being equal, I would have preferred Hopkins too, but they didn't do it, and they must have thought he wasn't as good as others thought he could be at this point.
Well, that leaves the main question. Why didn't Omar just stack the box this year, now that everything's looking pretty positive as far as wide receiver talent? Like, why are we not going and swinging for the fences?
Well, maybe he tried. Again, you talk to different people who say they were in the conversation with a lot of these receivers, and it came down to price and money. And maybe they felt that was just not the way to go. Again, I'm not going to rule out Mike Williams as being somebody who could affect this team. I think he can have a positive influence on it. He's had a resume. He's been big when he's needed to be big, especially for the Chargers, not so much in New York. But we'll see how this goes. But they got to stay healthy, number one. George Pickens is the main man, and they got to utilize, as they have under Russell Wilson, more Calvin Austin, more Van Jefferson, more Pat Freiermuth, more Darnell Washington. There are guys there they can use to augment their offense, and I think that's the plan going forward, and Williams will help there. I don't know if he'll be as good as Hopkins, but he will help.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, Rick. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. 412-928-9370 is the number. We're due for a break. I want to remind you once again, thank you to our sponsors. Number one, Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. Check out the number one Cochran Sports Showdown tomorrow night. We'll be talking about the Steelers and Washington on that program. 11:35 p.m. is the start time on KDKA-TV. We'll come back with more of your calls right here. It's the Bob Pompeiani Show on another beautiful Saturday in Pittsburgh. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back as we continue right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Be sure to join us tonight, 11:35 KDK-TV. It's the Mike Tomlin Show, brought to you by 84 Lumber. Tomorrow morning, 11:30 in the morning, we begin with our BetMGM Steelers kickoff program. Charlie Batch alongside with Rich Walsh, Jerry Dulac will get you set for the Steelers and Commanders at 1. 2 hours after the game on KDK+. Plus, it is the postgame show brought to you by Ford. And Chris Hoke and I will take your calls after the game. We'll get your feelings for what the Steelers did on that day. And largely looking forward, where do you think they're going to end up? That's all tomorrow on KDK-TV. In the meantime, I want to thank our sponsors again. Number one, Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway, Cochran.com. PNC Bank, make today the day. Senderovich, Senderovich and Fishman. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. So Pitt and Virginia tonight, we'll get you set on that. Game 5 o'clock, Doran Dickerson joins me live over at Acrisure Stadium. And Seth Davis will be there manning that show as well. So he's putting in a yeoman's day. You have two teams looking to lick their wounds, Pitt and Penn State. Penn State lost a game that, to me, they had every opportunity to win against Ohio State. It's a bugaboo for them that's been going on for years and years and years as James Franklin has dropped to 1-10. Now they're in a position where they're still available here and they're still ranked and they're still in the 12-team college football playoff. But they got to win out, I would think, to make sure they do that, because you can make a case that four teams from the Big Ten will get in this field of 12. But then you wonder about ACC and Pitt, which is also coming off a really bad loss, I thought, to SMU. It's one thing to lose. It's another thing to not be in the game. And they only had 3 points heading into the fourth quarter. The final score was not indicative of how bad that game was. 44-25. It was once 44-11 or 48-11, whatever the case was. Pitt has to rebound. But this is a tough game for them because it's against a Virginia Cavalier team that has had some good games. They're 4-4 overall, but they gave Louisville all they can handle. They were in their game against Clemson until late. So if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. And if you let them be in the game or take over a game, and it falls between SMU and Clemson, which is always a trick game and a tough game for a team to rebound. So, but if Pitt should do their thing, if you look at where they are in this 12-team playoff, they are currently 18th, which makes it interesting because they're still ranked ahead of Louisville and Clemson, which is interesting to me because in the regular polls, they're not ranked ahead of those teams. But in this college football playoff, they are. So for this moment, and we'll change this and adjust it as the season goes on, but the four teams that will get a first-round bye are four conference winners. One, Oregon, how did I say that? Oregon, the Ducks from the Big Ten, two, Georgia, three, Miami, assuming they win the ACC. These are all assumptions. And four, BYU. Now, BYU is the fourth-ranked team and a first-round bye, even though they're ranked ninth in the college football playoff. But again, if you win a conference, you get a first-round bye. Then you have, in the first round, these are games to be played on the site of the team which has a better record and seeding. Boise State would be at Ohio State. That would be one of the first games. Indiana will be at Tennessee. That's an 8-9 matchup. Alabama at 11 will take on Texas, number 6. That's a great game. Notre Dame, 10, versus number 7, Penn State. That game would be at Happy Valley. And again, it's predicated on them getting in. And for them, after that loss, they better win out to do it. And then the winners advance after that. But again, if you see Pitt, if they should win, they got two tough games coming up. Actually, they're all tough, but ranked teams, Louisville and Clemson, if they win the next four games, and going to BC will not be easy, by the way. And I believe Virginia beat Boston College earlier, if I'm not mistaken. So, you can put yourself there. They're currently ranked 18th, again, ahead of Clemson and Louisville. They could move themselves up because other teams will fall, and they could end up being one of these ACC teams in there, but they got to win out. SMU looks like they could win the whole thing, actually, to me. But you could bet that SMU and Miami will both be in there. How many more teams after that? Or will Pitt or somebody else replace one of those two teams? At 412-928-9370. Want to get the Penguin conversation going as well, but before we do that, let's get out to the counselor in the car on line one. Hello, counselor.
Hi, Bob. Listen, a couple of comments. On the Penguins, I hate to say this, I'm willing to put up with getting into the top 10 somehow in the lottery to get a pick because they need, I don't see anything in the Wilkes-Barre Scranton minor leagues that's going to make a big difference in their winning. The other thing is on the Steelers, I think they can go 11-7, which would get them into the playoffs and win a
11-6.
First run. 11-6, I'm sorry. 11-6.
Sooner
and then
or later,
get them
there'll be 18
round.
Games, but we're not there yet.
Yeah, but they can get I think they can win a first round game, too. I think they'll have enough offense with Russell Wilson being the passing threat.
I think they're to me, getting in the playoffs would be expected. Also expected is winning a playoff game because they haven't done it in so long. That would be an expectation of what they have here, and that's one of the reasons why, you can say what you want. If this pans out the way it's heading, they did a very smart thing in getting rid of what they had and bringing in both Fields and Wilson. I didn't think at the time. I thought it was a little bit of a reach. But so far, makes me think like they did the right stuff.
Yeah, I see that. My last comment, and I'm because I'm a diehard baseball fan, I'm just, how do I say this? Hoping for a miracle because the only way I see them doing something to getting in the playoffs is they've got to spend about $25 to $30 million on bats. And it can't be just a $5 million, purchase. It's got to be at least two bats, and you're going to be paying 15 plus. prefer each of them.
I agree. You know I've been saying the same thing, Counselor. And thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. 412-928-9370. They have a pitching staff, which will be the envy of a lot of teams, I think, with starters. No question about it. And while they're here, and specifically Skeens, while he's here, they have to do everything in their power to upgrade every offensive position they can. And that means spending money. And that means not being afraid of spending money. And that means doing it without nitpicking around with a bunch of $2 million and $4 million players. I want them to think aggressively. The question, will this ever happen? We talk about it. It's the same old theme every single year. What will they do? How will they address it? What will they spend? How much are they going to spend? To me, they can spend Juan Soto money if they wanted to, but they won't. They could. Sure, they could. They could bring in a $50 million a year player right now, and their payroll would still be in the middle of the pack. That's a choice you make. There are no rules. You can spend as much or as little as you want. So to me, I want to see bats. I want to see, and they have some guys in their system who are promising to me, but they need to augment them now while Paul Skeens is here. Because if you want to believe that they're never going to spend on bats, you can make no mistake that they will never spend on Paul Skeens. Never. Not as much as it will cost them if this continues. So while he's here, make sure you do what you can do to bring out the best in this team and get them in a position. It's doable if you do it the right way. And that starts with the owner saying, let's go. I'm going to unleash the handcuffs on you, Ben Cherington. You can do as you please, and you will be judged accordingly in this next year. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Back to the Penguins. We haven't spent a lot of time on them, but I do want to because I find this season so far very disappointing. I expected much more. And they got a nice bounce back win. I'll say that back-to-back games not easy for them, especially as an older team. Capitals have some age on them as well. But the Penguins withstood that and won a game after losing at Carolina. Now, Carolina is a class of this division so far. There are a lot of good teams. The Penguins are going to have to dig out, and they're going to have to start accumulating points quickly, which leads me to Tristan Jarry. He's 4-0 with a 169 goals against, a 941 save percentage down there at Wilkes-Barre-Scranton. So whatever is changing now for him has to manifest itself up here, and they need him to be the kind of goaltender he's supposed to be. I've said before, and I will say it again, they're not going to just throw him aside and say, that's it, it's failed, we gave him all this money, we're moving on. No, you can't. They won't. They're not going to do that. So they have to figure this out, and he has to be central to this. And not only that, I'll say this in front of any goaltender, your workmanship on team defense has been terrible. They have to get better with how they play the game. It seems like it's a theme we talk about all the time. Penguins are too sloppy, giving the puck away, pinching at the wrong time. It's okay to pinch if you do it the right way, and if you don't, you're going to open up 3-on-2s, 2-on-1s, and make your life very difficult for a goaltender. So all of this has to take place. The power play has still not been at a level I think it needs to get to, and these are keys for a team like the Penguins. I still believe if they somehow should get into a postseason with the team they have and the experience they have, they could be a problem for a team. I really believe that. Erik Karlsson has been disappointing, and that may be too kind of a word. He's not been good. He needs to be better. Ryan Graves has to be better. These guys I expected in year two to be better. So far, they are not. Doc joins us right now on line one. Hey, Doc, what's going on?
Good morning, Bob. Not much. Getting ready for all the action over the weekend, but I wanted to call up and make a comment. My feelings about next year's power. On next year's power, if they don't get a new manager, a new coaching staff, they're not going to any playoffs. That's what's missing. They got the team with that good pitching now. If he keeps this manager, they're not going to make it. That's about all I have to say. Enjoy the game.
Thank you, Doc, and I hope you're doing well, man. I appreciate you getting back in touch with me and wish you well. They're not going to do that. They've pretty much made that clear. So, and I don't agree with you that they have the team. They have the pitching. They don't have the team. They have to figure out ways to increase run production. So you're not going to be doing that. You can't do that in 1 year based on people you have in the minors. You're going to have to go out and bring it in. So hopefully they can bring it in. They need to do that. But I want to hear what all you have to say about the Steelers, about Pitt, Penn State. Also, the Penguins, who are now 6-8-2, this college football playoff? Do you think either Pitt or Penn State will be in there? Currently, Penn State is as the seventh. Will they stay, or will James Franklin do what he always does, and that beats everybody he's favored to beat, which if you look at their schedule, Washington, Purdue, Minnesota, Maryland, they can win all those games. And if they do, they're in. If they don't, they won't be. 412-928-9370 is the number. Hit me up on Twitter. It's at KD Pomp. I'm going to read some of those tweets coming at you next. It is the Bob Pompiani Show at Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back with Seth Davis behind the glass. Bob Pompiani here with you until 1 o'clock at 412-928-9370. You can also hit me up on X or Twitter. It's at KD Pomp, as Presto, Matt Presto, has done. His comment is, don't know if it's wishful thinking, but I think somewhat better about the gauntlet of a Steelers schedule remaining. I don't think people thought Cleveland would be this bad, and there are some very porous defenses that they face. That's true, and if they stay healthy, you would think 11 wins is not out of the question. Sean at 895-533-334 on Twitter says, Baltimore may lose in the playoffs again if they don't button up their defense. Well, if they do, it's going to be because of their defense. There's no question. Although Lamar Jackson in the playoffs, when he's gotten there, has not been as good as he was during the regular season. I think there's a lot of pressure on him to take that. They're facing similar pressure to the Steelers about winning in the playoffs. Bogey B says, Steeler fans feel like this is our year. Well, probably Steeler fans feel that way every year, even though this year is a little bit different, I think. So we'll see how that goes. But we have Matt Zigarelli says, Bob, I've got the Steelers winning this game 27-20. Russ will cook up a few moon balls to Pickens and Williams. Really looking forward to Preston Smith off the edge. Yeah, they acquire some good depth pieces, veteran pieces. They're older. They've been around. And it should help them depth-wise going down the point. Thank you, Matt, for that. You can hit me up at KD Pomp. In the meantime, I want to tell you this about Penn State. Because coming out of that Ohio State game, these are concerning things for them. They're 1-23. Against top five teams since the year 2000. Think about that. This leads to that conversation about James Franklin every year. Some fans want to get him out of there, even though the run of success as far as the program is good. I mean, he's turned them into a perennial top 10, top 15, sometimes top five team. But these numbers are what haunts him. 1-23 against top five teams since 2000. 1-13 against top five teams under Franklin. Lost 11 straight of those. PSU, now with 8 of these games against Ohio State, lost 8 in a row, 1-10 overall. Again, when you get to this level, you have to at some point expect you got to take it to the next level. And last week was one of those opportunities where I thought they could have. But they had some calls that were interesting. The interception in the end zone by Ohio State on a ball that I thought was a touchdown right before halftime, that was significant. They got so conservative at the goal line when they were down there first and goal from the two or three, and they couldn't punch it in. That was the determining part of that game. And what's worse is after that, I don't know if it's worse, but it's certainly as bad, is that they then allowed Ohio State from their own one-yard line to control the ball for the rest of the game. They never got it back. And obviously that is something that needs to change. They can't afford to do that in those kind of situations. They could have gotten the ball back after that if they had a three and out, but they didn't. And so Penn State loses another game to a team like Ohio State. And I thought Ryan Day, if he had lost, was going to be on the same sort of hot seat that oftentimes these coaches like Franklin find themselves in. So the question, if you're a Penn State fan, are you happy with this program being what it is? Or if not, tell me why not. And if it's strictly beating those elite teams, a lot of coaches have gone down this path. You know, Jim Harbaugh being the most recent and last one, couldn't beat Ohio State for a lot of years, and there was pressure on him to do it. He finally did. They won a national championship. He goes to the NFL. So what are your expectations for Penn State? Can they get in? And if they do get into this college football playoff, how much will it take for you to get off his back if you are on his back? In other words, win one game in the college football. Let's say it's as it is right now. It would be a 7-10 matchup at State College against Notre Dame. If they win that game, is that enough to satisfy your taste buds in Penn State? And as far as Pitt is concerned, what does it take for you to think that this would be a successful season? We have this debate all the time on, you know, radio, TV, whenever we're talking about sports debates. What is a successful season? And has your expectation of this team because of their 7-0 start taken you off the rails a little bit in terms of coming back to reality? 7-0, now 7-1. What will it take for you to say, well, this is a great season for Pitt? Winning out and not making the college football playoff, that would be 11-1? Or getting in there and winning a game? Or is it already successful by your, you know, coming off 3-9, I don't know that you could have expected much. I know I didn't expect this much. So for my expectation, it was successful already, but the expectation and the bar often moves. It goes up when you have more success. You're a victim of that success and that you have to continue to succeed. James Franklin's in that boat where, same thing, he's elevated the program to a level that it may be stuck at right now. If you change coaches and if you bring in somebody new, do you run the risk of having that program regress? And then you get to a point where you say, well, we should have kept James Franklin. 412-928-9370. These are all topical issues when it comes to college football as we go into this new era of college football playoff. And again, as it was right now set up, Notre Dame, this is from the College Football Selection Committee, Notre Dame would be at Penn State first round game. Pitt would be on the outside looking in. They're currently 18th. They need to get to 12. Can they do it if they win four straight? They have Virginia. They have number 19 Clemson. They have number 25 Louisville. They're both ranked ahead of those teams in the college football playoff. Not true, the regular ratings, but it is true. And then they end at Boston College, which can be a really trick game for them. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Now, the Penguins, they got Dallas coming up at home on the one thing I've noticed about the Penguins, and I'll not include Washington in this, even though they were 9-2 coming into that game last night. And I'm not putting them in there because I never thought of them as an elite team. The Penguins, every time they've been against a, quote, elite team, somebody who has, you know, faster approach, better overall talent, I think roster-wise, they've not shown up. Twice, now they've lost to Carolina, and they haven't been close, 9-2 being outscored in those games. They lost to the Rangers on opening night, 6-0. Can't have that. They go out west, they face a gauntlet of good teams in the west. They go 0-4 in that trip, and that includes Edmonton, Vancouver. Calgary's a playoff team, potentially. So, you know, every time they've been in that position, they have not delivered. They got Dallas. Dallas is a legitimate Stanley Cup contending team. This Monday night game is going to be another of those tests. And whether or not they can, you know, win a game like that and do it impressively. That's what I want to see from the Penguins. Do it a 60-minute effort. They go through streaks where they can dominate a game and end up somehow down 2-0. You know, they got to figure out ways to really put a bandage on some of these things that are happening with porous 2-on-1s, 3-on-2s. They give them up far too often, makes life tough on everyone. It results in a penalty, a goal, or putting your goaltending on high alert that they're going to come in with big chances. All of this stuff has been plaguing them, and it has to be cleaned up. I want to see a 60-minute complete game against a good team. They'll have that chance on Monday night. Back to the lines we go, including Chuck in Bridgeville. Chuck joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Hello, Chuck.
Hey, Bob. How's it going?
What's up, man?
Hey, wanted to talk about Penn State for a second. I think you framed it in an interesting way. I was thinking about it, and they're actually very similar to the Pirates, which is kind of crazy. A little bit different. They're much more successful in terms of record, but they're both kind of handicapped by how much the organizations make, right? Like the Pirates, they run a tight ship and they make a ton of money. Penn State wins 10 games every year and makes a ton of money. But they're being, you know, held hostage by a coach that doesn't get them there in big games. And so to your point, it's like, do you get rid of them and set the program back a little bit and the university makes less money for 5 or so years? Or do you keep rolling out the same thing? The university rakes in a bunch of money. It keeps the boosters happy. You know, they get the big recruit, stuff like that. But you're never going to get over the top. And so as a Penn State fan, I would rather go through that pain for 5 years to get back and, you know, hopefully get a coach that can get you over the top. But I understand it from the university's perspective, right? It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, but, okay, fine. You know, you say it takes 5 years. If it's going to take 5 years, there isn't. Then to me, there's no guarantee. I think whoever, if they want to make a change, Chuck, they have to do it with someone who wants to take it from where it is right now up to the next level. That would require a big-name coach to me. That would require somebody who is going to immediately have an impact on NIL, immediately who can change, you know, whatever roster positions that are deemed as deficient, mostly, you know, quarterback skill position. That's what I would want if I make a change. I wouldn't want to say to myself, okay, we may be going backwards. We're going to have to take some time. I don't think they want that. I don't think you would want that, would you? If you're going to do it, you want to change so that you can immediately make an impact on this college football playoff.
Yeah, no, I hear you, and I think maybe 5 years was a little bit too long of a time horizon. You're right there. But, I mean, if the job opens up, you know, any of these up-and-coming coaches, the Penn State job is about as appealing as it can get. And so, you know, if you go through this Franklin song and dance for another 3 to 5 years, maybe that job doesn't look as good in 3 to 5 years and you can't get that coach that's going to immediately come in and make a difference. So it's a tough position to be in, but I think if you're going to make a change, do it while the value of that job is as high as possible so you can get that guy that makes a difference in the program in 2 years, you know?
So what, for this year, what would make you think that James Franklin should be retained? What would it take moving forward this year for him to have the feeling? And he's going to be retained. I don't think they're going to pay $58 million, whatever they have to pay him to get out of there.
No, 100%.
No, so but what would satisfy you as a fan?
I think you got to get into the playoff, and I think you got to at least win one game, right? And I think if it's a big game against Notre Dame, just show that you can be on a big stage like that and at least compete with these big dogs. I mean, say what you want about Notre Dame this year. They're pretty good. They're maybe not like an Ohio State caliber. But if you win at least one game, if you win two, that's fantastic. But you got to just prove these people wrong that you can beat these top five, top ten teams because your record stinks.
Yeah, I agree. And that's it. And if you don't do that, the pressure continues. I thought last week was there for the taking. That was a missed opportunity, and they may pay the price for that one. All right, Chuck, thanks, man. Appreciate the call at 412-928-9370. Brian is in New Jersey right now. Hello, Brian, and now you're on the Fan.
Ryan, Bob. Anyway,
oh, I'm sorry. Said Brian here. No, don't mean that.
No big deal. Keep the B. Actually, I just walked past the TV, and Livy Dunn is sitting next to Lee Corso on College Game Day.
And Paul Skeens are both prides of LSU on that one. I see it.
I see that. So last night, that third period was probably the best period of hockey that the Pens have played all year, I want to say. But, yeah, the second period was a disaster. So with the odd man on Blomqvist. But what I was calling you about is what – I mean, first off, credit to the two old guys because – they don't have much of a team without Crosby, Malkin, and to a lesser extent, Raquel at this point. So, I mean, they're carrying them. I mean,
yeah,
at least
and that's fine if you put them all together, but they need more from the bottom nine.
Yeah.
You can't have just one line because sooner or later, that ain't going to work.
Second line is a huge problem if you're going to stack Malkin on the top, but whatever. So I see some rumblings from the normal reporters talking about since Jari's conditioning stint has to end, I think it's tomorrow they have to bring him back up,
mm-hmm.
something like that. You know, if they're going, like, I've called you, what, four times we've talked about Jari?
Yeah.
If they're going to send the kid down, because he's their best goalie by far, I mean, it's not even close. if they're going to send him down or they're going to carry three goalies, they're going to have to carry three goalies. They're going to say, I can't see them sending Blomqvist down, but they will. I don't know. You're swirling the bowl if you're trusting Jari's going to all of a sudden figure it out between his ears. So,
well, whether or not he does or doesn't, Ryan, don't you think that it's imperative that he does? I mean, you can sit here, you know. So you think he's done? Period. You don't think he'll ever regain the form he once had?
I think they should play him this year and get him in there. I wouldn't put him in any high leverage games, and just try to get it to the summer when they can trade and retain or buy out. I mean, that's he was drafted, if I remember correctly, it wasn't Matt Murray, you know. It was Jari was the one that they thought had the talent to replace for a long term. So
it's hour number two of the program here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Bob Pompieni, now joined by the one and only Joel Nelson. As we continue this hour up until 1 o'clock, Paul Alexander will be here after that. We have a lot to get into. We've talked a lot about the Steelers situation with regard to, you know, what lies ahead, starting with the Commanders tomorrow, and that's not going to be an easy assignment. They are actually underdogs, even though they have a rookie quarterback, and Mike Tomlin over the years has been very good against rookie quarterbacks, 25-6 record. But this is a different cat here. This is a guy who's playing very well, and he's used the run game, which has been good for them, and they're making life easy. Cliff Kingsbury's done a very good job with them, and we'll see what happens against the Steeler defense, which I think will be probably the best test that Washington is going to face this year in terms of defensive assignments. So we're getting into that, and what you think maybe their future record would be here in the next second half of the season, because they got all their division games. It's going to ramp up, certainly. There are going to be a lot of – and at the beginning of the season, I was not a fan of all these division games being clumped in the end of the year. However, now that we've gotten here, it seems like that's going to be a very good thing in terms of drama, now that Hard Knocks is involved with all these AFC North teams. And in terms of outcomes of games, very interesting for sure moving forward. Your thoughts about the Steelers at 6-2? Baltimore won the other night in a game that was track meet, basically. Both defenses not all that good. Offenses were shining. Four touchdown passes each for Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson, who has been terrific from the pocket this year. But the end of the game featured a two-point conversion try. A lot of people were on board with that. A lot of people weren't. What would you do in that situation? Cincinnati, their season may have been clinging on this game. Down 35-34, they just score, and they decide to go for two, not one. Zach Taylor said, I'm going for the win here. A lot of people applaud that. A lot of people said, why not extend the game? If you're Kansas City and you're going against that team, Kansas City, I can understand why I think you would want to go for two. You don't want to get into an overtime and give Mahomes a full OT. As we saw the other day, he just went right down the field and scored, and he does that a lot. So I understand if you're an opponent of Kansas City and you have a chance to win a game at the very end, you go for two. But in this game, I was one of those who thought it would have been more prudent to kick the extra point. Yes, I know Lamar Jackson's on the other side of it, but you have Joe Burrow on your side. Sometimes, and I don't know if this is fair or not, but it's determined by who wins the toss of the coin. If you score a touchdown, you win, and that's what Kansas City does. If you're Cincinnati, I guess you figure, okay, our defense can't stop them, so we're going to go for the win. But how do you think about that at 412-928-9370? We also gotten into the talk about college football, what Pitt and Penn State both have to do. Penn State's currently in the college football playoff. What would it take for you as a Penn State fan to be satisfied with this season at 412-928-9370? And as you heard Joel just say, the Penguins have brought up Tristan Jarry. It looks like they're going to go with three goaltenders. Matt Nieto has been sent down to the minors. So Jarry, after a 4-0 stint with a 169 goals against and a .941 save percentage, is back up with the team. Open lines until 1 o'clock, so call 412-928-9370, beginning with Marty in Frick Park.
Hey, Bob. Yeah, I was thinking taking a walk, and I just heard some of the conversation. I was thinking about Bill Cowher's career. You know, all the big losses he had, the AFC championship games at home, Cordell tapping his head. Took him 14 years to win a championship. So I'm thinking Franklin, the upside with Franklin is they're now in the mix. One of the best things Franklin said after the game, college football has changed. You can lose a game, maybe two. They can't lose two, but the SEC teams can lose two. Mm-hmm. College football has changed. The game was toe-to-toe. I was up there two times inside the five. I didn't see a physical difference between the teams. The last drive bothered me, where Ohio State ran out the clock. But there's not a physical difference. They got to make a play inside the five twice. And they couldn't do it.
They couldn't do it.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. So is it that they get tight? Like a lot of college teams, Marty Schottenheimer's disciple, they got tight in big games. They just can't get over the hump. But on the other hand, there will be here. If they went out, win a playoff game, like the other fellow said, they might actually get Bob. You probably know how the bracket works. People like Iowa State and SMU might be actually get byes.
They could.
You can get a break in the bracket. You can make the college semifinals. So what I would say is satisfied, win a game, happy, college semifinals.
So you're not in any position to say that's the end of James Franklin?
Oh, God, no.
Okay. There are a lot of people who are. You know that.
Yeah, but they're knee-jerk reaction people. They're saying people, that's my comp with Bill Cowher. They're saying knee-jerk reaction people who wanted to fire Cowher for 12 years because he lost the last game or the big game. I mean, you have to always say to yourself, who are you going to replace him with?
Well, that's right? Yeah. I mean, don't you think that's a prime job, though, if you wanted to get a big name who could take you over the hump immediately? Do you think there's somebody out there?
Well, let me ask you, because you're a college football fan. Who's a big name? Matt Campbell from Iowa State? I mean, who's a big name? I'm just trying to.
There are guys out there, off the top of my head, who aren't Nick Saban, who are still big enough names who could come in, or at least
right. You're not getting Sark. You're not getting. Obviously, you're not getting the top six or eight programs.
No, but in order to do it, you'd have to probably poach somebody and then deal with all that stuff that comes with it.
Right,
with
and like I said, I mean, Franklin wanted Vandy, as a lot of people may have forgot. He wanted Vandy. Vandy's first year over a decade, they're gonna have a winning season. He had three straight winning seasons with Vandy. I mean, I think Franklin's a really good coach.
No, I'm not disputing that. He is. Yeah. His record says that. But given the impatience that people have, and it's impatience that comes with sports because it is a knee-jerk, but it's longer than knee-jerk with regard to him and his record against top five teams. Not unlike what Mike Tomlin's record is in postseason of late. That's why it becomes more of an issue for a team like Penn State to do it now. So you're thinking they'll get in. If they don't get into the college football playoff, then how would you look at this? Like, let's say they get upset by Washington.
This point season, everything was set up this year for them to get in.
Right.
Their schedule was pretty easy. They got other than Ohio State, they had at home, which should have been 2020 with 5 minutes to go. I'm sure a lot of people say on Penn State, well, it should have been 2020 5 minutes to go. Who knows what happens? That's on Penn State, though. I don't, they have to own that. But, Washington's not awful. I watched them play against Indiana, but no, they got to go 11-1. They got to make the playoffs. I mean, I would consider a disappointing season at 10-2, absolutely, because everything was kind of favorable.
Right, that's the way I looked at it. It was set up for them. Yeah. That's why I thought they would win this conference. Actually, all right, Marty, thanks. Even though Oregon's in it now, and there are too many good teams. Appreciate it. Enjoy your walk. Let's go to Jay in Orlando, Florida. Hello, Jay. What's up?
Hey, Pomp. How are you?
Good. What's going on, man?
Love listening to the show. I have to take the other side to the Penn State season. Franklin just seems to shrink in the moment. People talking, he's a good coach. Yes, he's a good coach. I think he's a better rah-rah guy than a coach.
I would consider him a better recruiter than anything.
That's exactly what I was saying. He reminds me of Tomlin a little bit. I mean, the guys love him. He has great respect, but I think the nuts and bolts of the game, strategy, making timely calls, that type of thing, I don't think that Franklin has. I look at Aller, too. He seems to shrink in the moment also. Kotelnicki, the offensive coordinator, I mean, they're down at the three-yard line, three plays right into the center of the line. I mean, this guy's supposed to be creative.
Yeah, I was disappointed with that. I thought they'd do something much different at the goal line. Absolutely.
Absolutely. As far as the Steelers, the thing that concerns me is the rush defense. That is what concerns me. I feel cautiously optimistic, but I want to see how the rush defense does against Jaden Daniels, because they can run the ball also.
Yeah, no, they're very good. They average like 143 a game, and they just had 160-some against the Giants, so they can do it. They're also vulnerable against it, and I think you're going to see a battle of the run games tomorrow, at least to start that game, and whatever play action after that occurs. But I really do think this is going to be a tough test, but I think they're going to pass that test and move on to the Ravens, and then everything really gets interesting.
It does, really. This last 8 or 9 games are going to be incredible. It is going to be incredible. I do appreciate love listening to this show.
Thank you, Jay. Appreciate you calling all the way from Orlando, Florida, 412-928-9370. I want to remind you, our fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. 412-928-9370. As far as Pitt is concerned, they have pressure as well. And this pressure has ramped up since their 7-0 start. Was that fool's gold, that 7-0 start? Do you think, you know, after going against their first ranked team, they really had a chance of playing in SMU? They got blown out of the building down there in what was a, you know, a big stage game. Is that more indicative, or do you think Pitt will rebound and they have two ranked teams left on their schedule? How they do will determine what happens to them. Four games left. But can they do it against Virginia, which is, to me, a really difficult game because of where it lies, right after SMU, right before Clemson? What will Pitt do tonight? Virginia has been capable of being in some games. They lost to a good Louisville team in a close game. They lost to Clemson, and they scored a lot of points in that game. If you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. Pitt's got to start at the beginning and not give them a chance and then look ahead to that. But the expectations for Pitt have changed throughout the middle, and this is what happens when you do well. 7-0 becomes okay. Now you got to get to the college football playoff. Can they? Will they? 412-928-9370 is that number. I think they can. I don't think they will. I think Penn State can and is and will, just because, again, I'm basing it on James Franklin's record against teams that are not ranked. He beats those teams, and he's got four of them coming up: Washington, Purdue, Minnesota, and Maryland. But the one thing they cannot do is lose to one of those teams. If they do, that could be very, very costly to them. At 412-928-9370, let's go to Dan in the car, who joins us right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hey, Dan, what's up today?
Pomp, big fan, legend of Pittsburgh. I wanted to ask you a question. I heard Starkey and them guys losing their mind this week about Anthony Richardson taking that playoff, and, you know, he's going to get benched, and he's probably, you know, going to move on and get cut or whatnot. But yet, Starkey and them were all adamant about, like, when Highsmith and Watt took a playoff, you know, they were exhausted. They took a playoff. I just wanted to get your perspective on what the difference would be. I mean, whether it be a young rookie or a seasoned veteran, if you're gassed, you're gassed. I'd want somebody else in there to have more energy than me.
I think there is overreaction to people who, you know, admit or are viewed as, well, you're taking yourself out of a game at a critical time. If you are gassed, you're doing yourself a disservice if you're in there, and somebody else could be fresher for than you. And I realize the importance of guys like T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith. In the case of Richardson, to me, is more of a bad look, just because he is young and he's a guy who they I think we saw last week with regard to Indy, Flacco, even though he's capable of doing good things, he's also capable of being flattened as he was in that game. Their future still lies with someone other than Joe Flacco, even though I thought him coming into the game against the Pittsburgh Steelers was a good move for them at the time. But Richardson he has to get better. I don't know what to make of him. I honestly don't. I think they're at a crossroads with him so early in his career. But as far as that one play, I think that's an overreaction in my view.
All right, Paul. Thank you for the input.
Yep. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it. Guy in the state of California. Hello, Guy.
Hi, Bob. I'd like to talk about the Pens if I could.
Yep.
But first, I just want to say my Steelers futures bet of 8.5 season game wins plus 120 looks very sweet. So I don't want to jinx them, but
it does look very good at this point. You're right.
Now, anyways, going back to the Pens, I had talked last week about the my Pens futures bet of 87.5 games. And I still feel confident, because after 16 games, the Pens are 6-8-2, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me go back in history a little bit. The 21-22 season, they had 103 points total. They were 6-6-4. 22-23 season, 91 points total. They were 6-7-3 after 16 games. And last year, they had 88 points, and they were 8-8. It just seems that the Sullivan teams get off to a very slow start. And I don't know why. Maybe because it has a more developed offense. And it takes a while for teams to click. You see that in the NFL, too.
But the question then, Guy, is this. Can they at this – now, you talked about 3 years ago. Okay, these guys are 3 years older, and I don't think they have the depth at forward that they think or maybe they had in previous years. And sooner or later, when you start this way, in a league that's getting better and there are a lot of good, young, faster teams than them, Can you afford another one? And can you base history on the outcome of this year?
And that I agree with you. When you think how, you know, last year Crosby and Malkin were healthy. I mean, it doesn't take much in any sports league for a player to be out for a month or longer with an injury. And the Pens were very, very lucky in the past. But we'll see. I just listen to all this Penguin talk. I think I'm listening to the 93.7 overreaction Monday talk, and it's like, okay, it's a long season.
You know, it is a long season, but again, I thought key starts are important to this team just because of their age mostly, and you know, you can't afford to dig yourself too big of a hole. Again, if you look at, tell me the teams in the Metropolitan Division who you think are better than the Penguins, because I'll start and I'll go with the Rangers, Carolina, the New Jersey Devils. They're better, I think. They have a roster that is capable of doing it. And then you could put the Penguins in there if you want. Where would you, you know, when you look at their chances in that own division, where would you put them?
You're absolutely right. And I don't disagree with you there. And a lot of teams are coming up and teams are starting to gel a little bit. Teams like Montreal are starting to show some life finally. But this team is not in a teardown mode. They still have some key pieces. And my last name is, I just think, we're just overreacting just a little bit. I'll get back to you when they start playing 30 games or
yep.
so.
And I hope at that point they're on a pace ahead of what you needed to get at 87.5.
Thank you, Bob.
All right. Thanks, guy. Appreciate it. 412-928-9370. Thank you to number one Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. PNC Bank, make today the day. Shendorovich, and Fishman. They got your back, not your wallet. And Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. KDK Plus and 93.7 The Fan. Later in the hour, we have the Fan Weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. And in the meantime, I want more of your calls until 1 o'clock. 412-928-9370 on Twitter. It's at KD Pump. Want to hear what you think about all these major sports issues on what is another busy weekend going into the month of November here. Down the stretch, a lot of interesting games in the NFL specifically. What's your take on the Steelers? I want to hear what you have to say about the rest of the season. Penguins start, and also Pitt and Penn State. Can they get, will they be in the college football playoff? That's all coming up as we continue right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back as we continue right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Bob Pompiani with you until 1. Paul Alexander takes over there 1 to 5, and then we're back with Pitt Preview. Doran Dickerson will join me live at Acrisure Stadium. In the meantime, thank you to number one Cochran. Shop 24/7. I tell you this every time, you should. They got 19 different dealerships all throughout this area and more. Expressway at Cochran.com. They got some great things going on there. Shop 24/7 with Cochran.com. Also PNC Bank, Ireland Contracting, and Shendorovich and Fishman. 412-928-9370. Back to the lines we go. Bob is in the car driving around, and now he joins us here live on the Fan. Hey, Bob.
Hi, Bob. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
First of all, I'm so happy the Penguins did not do the same thing again, give up the 2-0. The problem was that I couldn't – I have a Disney channel, but still they wanted another $16.99. They want to sell something else. I was very disappointed about that, and because I always record, you know, Penguins, Steelers, and Panthers. However, as far as Steelers, I have a good feeling about the whole team because even though Phil Justin was a good and he wasn't making mistakes, but I don't think he is as good as Wilson when you down by 2 scored or something like that. It was almost like he can come back. But with Wilson, Russ, I think he can basically come up with touchdowns and so forth, which we need. And the only problem about the red zone, now we have Pickens and we have this new guy, Williams, And both of them are tall, and I think they should do better in red zone with these additions.
Well, no question. They have big targets. And, Bob, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. I have high expectations for what they can do in the red zone. Russell Wilson in his career has been good there. He was last year in Denver. Although I would say this, I still think they should include somehow, some way, Justin Fields in there in some sort of package. If he's not going to play quarterback, he still should be involved in some of these plays. I'm not sure how exactly, but why not? He's you know, five rushing touchdowns this year when he's had opportunities in the red zone, and that's a thing that can make defenses really worry. You have tall targets, as you said, in Pickens and now Williams, and you have Darnell Washington, you have Pat Freiermuth, you have big people who can do things with the running backs who are capable of carrying runners into the end zone with them. Which, very interesting, leads to, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Najee Harris, how good he's been, and he's been terrific. There's no question about that. However, they decided not to pick up his option, which is fine. I thought that was not a big deal at the time. It would have been short of $7 million. So now he's having this kind of year, which makes you think, do they bring him back on another deal? And what would that deal look like? If you look around the NFL and discard, you know, stuff like Christian McCaffrey, he was at a different level at the time. Free agent running backs who have been around for a while. Derrick Henry makes $8 million a year in Baltimore. It's a two-year, that's a nice sum of money for a guy who's overproduced, I think. They're getting a bargain out of that guy for sure. He's route to a 2,000-yard rushing season perhaps and 20-some touchdowns. Najee Harris has put himself in a nice situation. And maybe that is, you know, the line of demarcation here, the $8 million, which would have been more than what the fifth-year option is. Do you think they'll do it? And do you think he would be receptive to it as well at 412-928-9370? I also going to be interested to see how Cam Sutton fits into this. He's now eligible to play after serving an 8-game suspension. Beanie Bishop has been good. He's tied for the team lead with, I don't think people would have said this too at the beginning of the season. Give me your team leaders in interceptions. Dante Jackson, Beanie Bishop. That would not have been part of the answers that I think he would have gotten on that, but those two guys are doing a pretty good job. So how does Cam Sutton? The one thing about him, he is a flexible guy in terms of his position flexibility. He can go different places. We saw him at the free safety in the preseason games, and I wondered about that. He can do corner, slot corner. He can do a lot of things. But how much playing time does he get after not playing at all this season at 412-928-9370? So these are things that the Steelers, not only are they getting healthier, they add a guy like that back. It can help them in a lot of different ways defensively. The only thing I think that can derail the season is some significant injuries at this point. When I say derail, I'm talking about being a playoff team. Whether or not they win a division, whether or not they, you know, what seeding they end up with, they should be, based on this start, a playoff team. The schedule has been good to them. Now it gets tougher, although there are still some very winnable games. Six wins right now, to me, translates into at least 10, more likely 11. Some will say 12. I'm not going to go that far yet because I do think there's a lot of ups and downs in an NFL season. We've seen it from teams. All I have to do is take you back to last year in Philadelphia, which started so well and then just completely collapsed at the end of the year for a lot of different reasons. So that can happen to teams just as a team like Cincinnati can get hot. And you may think they're not going to win a division. It's highly unlikely. But at six losses, if they do go on a roll, they can be a team that can somehow squeak in as a wild card and would be a difficult matchup just because of Joe Burrow. 412-928-9370. Melvin right now in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. What's up, Melvin?
Hey, I just wanted to call about you were talking about the Bengals and the Ravens and the Bengals deciding to go for two. I think that was a bad decision based on how much time was left and how many timeouts the Ravens had, because if they make it, the Ravens, if they kick the one, the Ravens are going to go down and try and get a field goal. They need 30 yards, and they're not going to be as urgent. They'll be, if the first play is neutral or maybe bad, then they're just going to give up and go for overtime. But if they make the two-point conversion, they're using all four downs, and they still are only going to need to get 30 yards to get in Tucker's field goal range. So,
but Tucker has been very – Tucker's not been that good this year. That's the one thing, though. But I understand that point because three timeouts made a difference. I get it. I get what you're saying.
I think they only had two, but still, that's plenty. That's plenty with 34 seconds, two timeouts, and you only need to go 30 yards to get to the 50, and that's a 67-yard field goal, which he can make. And they could always get a couple more yards if they needed to.
That's an interesting perspective you come from on that. I understand it.
If there were maybe 15 seconds left, then you can go for the two, because you're not, just because you get that 2-point conversion doesn't mean you're winning that game.
No, especially with how fast the team can move down into field goal range, and a guy who has 60-plus yards in his repertoire as a kicker. So, yeah, I mean, it's a risky move, however you made. They got to make that decision right off the bat. And as soon as they scored, I thought for sure they'd kick one, but they went for two. And as a result, they lose the game. But thanks for the call, Melvin. Appreciate it. That's a good point. Sure. Anyway, the Bengals are a team that I still think I'm not going to write off. You know, the Jets somehow still think they're good and could get into a playoff. They might. I mean, the NFL, typically, if you have 9 wins, you're going to be in the conversation. So they're going to have to get hot, no doubt. But I think a team like Cincinnati can do that. Clint right now joins us on the Bob Pompeiani Show. He's in Leechburg, and now he's on the Fan. Hey, Clint.
Hey, what's up, Bob? Talking about Najee here. Hey, I kind of like the guy and everything, but when it comes to the money and such, no one really talks about his injuries because he doesn't have any.
Nor fumbles because he doesn't have any.
Yeah, so I think that might be the reason why, maybe he's worth a few bucks or whatever. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
That was a quick out there, Clint. What are you doing? Something come up? that to me, that kind of money is, when you look around all the people making tons of money, that's not that bad. It's not that much money. I still think Najee Harris has a few years at a very high level in him. And as you said, he is durable, he's reliable, and he gets angry yards, runs after catch or yards after hits. So I there's a lot that I like about Najee Harris. But they seem to think, generally, and I say this league-wide, that you can find these guys wherever. They also have to give Jaylen Warren some money this year, and that's fine. And I will side with running backs on this conversation because a lot of people look at that as a diminished position when it comes to money, and it is. It has been. It's been suppressed. But who besides quarterbacks touch the ball more than running backs? They're always doing it. And it's a big part of the game. The teams that have been successful in the NFL over the last few years also have pretty good run games that they rely on them. So why would you depress that position? You have a chance to get a guy for $8 million. To me, I would absolutely do it. I'd give him a 3-year deal for $24 million if that were case. I wouldn't have a problem with that. Maybe similar to what Derrick Henry got from Baltimore, maybe a little less than that. But anyway, I don't have a problem with that kind of money for a running back, especially in a team that wants to prioritize a running back, as Arthur Smith and this team does. 412-928-9370 is the number to call for due for a break. We'll take it. Come back and round third, heading home. Give me a call at 412-928-9370. It's the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. What a beautiful weekend in Pittsburgh. It's a big sports weekend. Thank you for joining us here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Don't forget, tomorrow, actually starting tonight, we have a 84 Lumber Mike Tomlin Show on KDKA-TV at 11:35. You can also check it out on Steeler digital platforms. Tomorrow, it's the BetMGM Steelers kickoff at 11:30 in the morning. I'll be joined by Charlie Batch, Rich Walsh, Jerry Dulac. We'll break down the game, give you some thoughts about their roster, what they may do in this game against Washington. And then after the game, for 2 hours, we have the Ford Extra Point. That's at KDK Plus, 2 hours after the game. Tomorrow night, 11:35, it is the number one Cochran Sports Showdown. In the meantime, I want to hear from you before we go. Paul Alexander is standing by here in the bullpen. He'll be up next for 4 hours. But they just flashed this on screen of the Miami game. Miami's playing Georgia Tech right now, clinging to a 10-7 lead. The chance to reach the ACC championship game, which is important. Miami and SMU overwhelmingly. Miami's at 96%. SMU's 92%. Clemson 5%. Louisville 5%. They have Pitt at 3% getting to the ACC championship game. And beyond that, it's about getting to the college football playoff of 12 teams. Pitt is on the outside looking in right now. They're going to have to win all of their games and hope for some things to, go for them with other teams in the ACC. And it would help to have Georgia Tech beat Miami today. But Pitt has Virginia later tonight at 8 p.m. You'll hear it right here on the Fan starting at 5 with our Pitt preview show. Then it's 19 Clemson. That's a noon game. I'm a little surprised by that being a noon game. I don't know. I thought it might be a later time. And then you have Louisville, where ranked 25, and then at Boston College. Boston College is a team that has been good at the beginning of the season. They have faded. Speaking of that, Eli Holstein is, I don't know what the word is, regression, struggled, whatever. He's a freshman, redshirt freshman, but he's not been the same quarterback as he was. Tonight he better be. They need him to do that. They also need to be much better at tackling. In SMU's game the other night, it was just not good at all in every level of defense, which was surprising. I thought that would be a really good game. I was looking forward to one of those finishes that could determine, who takes the next step. toward getting to not only the ACC championship game, but also the college football playoff. And SMU is a fast team. They're a good team. Most likely it'll be Miami-SMU in that game. 412-928-9370. James Franklin and company have Washington tonight. Again, that's a night game, which will help. But they're going to need to win out, I think, just to remain where they are. Washington, they got Purdue, I think Minnesota and Maryland after that. But right now they're in the college football playoff. What would it take, I said, to impress, you know, Penn State fans? Or is just it's enough to be a top five team, top 10 team every year and not win big games? You know, that's the problem when you establish a program, as James Franklin has done, and now the expectations change. Pitt in season has had expectations change. By winning seven straight games, expectations move up. They ramp up what people think, and now you're expected to win some of these big games. They failed last week. What will they do moving forward? That's going to be very interesting to see concerning the Pitt Panthers. And as far as the Steelers are concerned, I'm looking for them to beat Washington. I think Washington's due for a little downturn. They have two games in 5 days. Very important. Up next will be a game against the Philadelphia Eagles on a Thursday night. So that is a game that will determine, you know, division standing. They may be in a position where you're going to have two big games like this, and that Eagles game is going to be more important in the long run than the Steelers game. But, you know, that's not how they're looking at it. They got lucky with a Hail Mary win against Chicago. And Stevenson, the Chicago player, was too busy yapping with people and not paying attention to what the game had. He ended up deflecting it backwards right into the waiting hands of Noah Brown. And by the way, Noah Brown was one of those guys I thought the Steelers might be interested in. They saw him in the preseason. We did, and I was impressed with him. And the Texans had a surplus of receivers. He ends up in Washington. So anyway, the bottom line is I think the Commanders are a good team, but the Steelers are going to show them a defense that they haven't seen, and you may see some mistakes. By the way, they've only turned the ball over three times. The Steelers take pride in making turnovers defensively. They're gonna take on a team tomorrow that doesn't do that. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens after this bye week, which I think serves the Pittsburgh Steelers very well. Penguins at home against Dallas. Very big game for me on Monday night. I say very big, even though we're in November. I want to see what this team can do against that team. That is a Stanley Cup-level team. On the road, they're pretty good. I expect the Penguins to play better than they have against some of these teams that have been considered elite teams, and they've failed so far with Edmonton, with Calgary, with Vancouver, with Carolina twice, with the Rangers. You know, you at some point, you got to be up with these teams. They made a move today, in case you missed it. Tristan Jarry has been recalled from Wilkes-Barre Scranton. So he went 4-0 down there with a 169 goals against a 941 save percentage. So he will be up here, and they're going to go with three goalies. They sent Matt Nieto down, so it looks like a three-goalie system. But I would expect Tristan Jarry to start Monday night, and I think they need to find out what he is. He needs to find – they need him to be the kind of goaltender they've spent $5.6 million a year on. So that'll be on Monday night. 412-928-9370 is the number. And, again, I appreciate all of those people who called today or tweeted. Appreciate that as well. Love talking to you, and I'm sure Paul does the same thing coming up next. He'll love talking to you about what's on his mind right here at Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. In the meantime, one more time, I want to thank our sponsors at Number One Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. PNC Bank, make today the day. Ireland Contracting, home of the new roof. You can check out the Ireland Contracting Nightly Sports Call on KDK Plus and some nights here on The Fan, as well as Shandorovich, and Fishman. So that's going to do it for me. Appreciate it. I'll see you later today at 5. Doran Dickerson will join me. We have a one-hour preview show of Pitt and Virginia. That game tonight at 8. You'll hear it right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Now it's time for the weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here. Chevy Red Tag event. Now through December the 2nd, 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Today, 59 for your high. Perfect fall day. Tomorrow, we may see some rain moving in at 59. Sun returns after that. Thank you to Joel Nelson behind the glass. Appreciate it, Joel. I know you got a long day. He'll be behind the glass for the Paul Alexander Show, which begins right after this. Real quick, Paul, get a comment from you, if you don't mind, before you go.
Yes, sir.
So Tristan Jarry, he's been recalled. I expect him to start on Monday against Dallas. And to me, this is not a surprise. They need him to be what he can be. And if not...
And to his credit, he went down to Wilkes-Barre and balled. I mean,
he did everything.
Fantastic. So you can tell that the desire is still there, but in the biggest games, he's always at his worst. And I don't know how you cure that.
I'll tell you how you start. You play a sound defensive game against an elite team, and you can't give up these kinds of odd man breaks that they seem to always give up, and it's never changing with them. That will make your goaltender's life a little easier. And yeah. I think especially for him tomorrow coming back, it'll be or Monday, it'll be a home game. You know, those fans, they want to see, and if they don't, things can
he
get...
He gives up an early one. Oh.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be interesting to see. Anyway, Paul will take you through the afternoon until 5 o'clock, then I'll see you after
5 o'clock?
Is that, are you going to 5? No.
Yeah, I'm going to 5.
Okay. You love those four-hour shows, don't you?
They're big boy shows.
Yeah, I like 2. 2 is a good number for me.
I like 3, actually. 2's not quite enough. 3's perfect. 4 is like that 1 hour too long.
Yeah, after
but that's when I get a little salty. It usually gets fun.
All right, Paul's coming up next again. Thank you, Joel. Appreciate it. And we'll see you all day tomorrow on KDK TV. We got the game. We got the pregame. We got the postgame. Thank you very much for joining me. Have a wonderful weekend. Paul Alexander up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.